Hello. You are listening to KBOO Portland. You're listening to The War on Liberty Since 9/11, a special day of programs on KBOO Portland. Coming up right now is Pete Anderson. He'll be interviewing Matt Gonzalez, Ralph Nader's running mate. So after this little music interlude, it will be Pete Anderson with Matt Gonzalez.
What is America to me? A name, a map, the flag I see. A certain word, a democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, the friends that I have found, the folks beyond the railroad, and the people all around, the worker and the farmer, the sailor on the sea, the men who built this country, that's America to me. The house I live in, my neighbors white and black, the people who just came here are from generations back, the town hall and the soapbox.
Welcome, Matt, to KBOO Radio 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon, and you're down in the Bay Area, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for having me. I just got back from a trip in the Midwest with Ralph Nader.
Thanks for jumping aboard for Ralph Nader at the spur of the moment.
Well, you know, I guess that's what the vice president is supposed to do, huh?
I don't know. I've never thought about the job myself. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that because I do have some ideas on how Ralph Nader and Matt Gonzalez will run the administration. That's president and vice president. But to lead off with, Ralph Nader has run on the platform of corporations and what have done to democracy. Could you elaborate on that some?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people don't always connect the dots as to why the major party candidates are often disappointing on many key issues. And I think Ralph Nader is someone out there who's been trying to say, look, you know, he's worked on important legislation for decades, and he's finally gotten to a place where he feels like he can't get anything done with these political parties because they're not interested in good environmental legislation or good reform or safety legislation, because they're in effect getting too much money from corporate entities that encourage these lawmakers to look the other way. We saw a little bit of that with the FISA vote, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act amendment, where telecommunication companies very much wanted immunity from having participated with George Bush's buying agenda, and the political parties essentially capitulated and accommodated that.
Right. It seems to me as though corporations are running our government and not our government. Seems to me as though we have a Democratic Party and a Republican Party, so we're told. But and we have a form of government that has a judicial branch, administrative branch, and a congressional branch. But it seems to me as though all three are functioning at the same level, that they have the same goals and objectives.
Well, Jeffrey Rosen from the New York Times Magazine wrote a good piece in March about the fact that the Democratic appointees of the Supreme Court were really going out of their way to criticize taxpayer and shareholder lawsuits and really trying to prop up corporations in a way that seemed extremely conservative. And I agree with you. I think Ralph Nader's trying to say, look, people aren't getting the fact that the corporate power and what corporations are doing to us really stand as the unifying theme for why we can't make this a more democratic and egalitarian society.
Now, and I like you saying egalitarian, because people will ask me if I'm a Democrat or if I'm a capitalist or if I'm a communist, and I say, no, I'm an egalitarianist, because I believe egalitarianism is even superior to democracy. Democracy to me is a rule of one. 51% of the vote rules, and usually that rule of one is the multinational corporations. We're talking about large corporations. We're not talking about small corporations or mom and pop corporations, but we're talking about the big guys like Walmart and General Electric and Halliburton, Root and Branch, you know, some of these Dow Chemical that are profiteering from wars around the planet that we've initiated, not just Iraq, but elsewhere. So how have these corporations become so powerful?
Well, first off, I would certainly agree with the notion that egalitarian concept, which is that we ought to be working towards greater real equality, so to speak. And when you talk, I would also agree with you that we're not talking about private enterprise itself when we talk about corporations, but we're talking about concentrated capital to the extent that we've seen it, where workers can't get health care and their wages are so low as compared to the CEOs of these companies. There was a time in the 1970s where CEOs made, I forget the times amount of the minimum wage worker, something like, let's say, 70 times what the lowest worker made. But now we're in the thousands when we talk about that disparity between those two job holders. I think it's been a slow encroachment, and I think it's been primarily because of the corporate personhood phenomena that allows the influence in speech and in political contributions, where executives of these companies have a stake, really, in the outcome of legislation. And when a corporation's got a directive to essentially make money for the owners, it isn't really quite concerned with other things that as a society we are concerned with, like providing health care for everyone or trying to see to it that we're looking at means of producing goods that is perhaps gentlest on the environment and things like that.
True. The notion of workers. Wherever I go, I'm in a checkout line. Wherever I come in contact with fellow workers, I always remind them of how important their positions are and that if it wasn't for them, there would be nothing. If it wasn't for the worker, there would be nothing. But yet, over the ends, workers are the ones that have gotten the shaft. We're always at the bottom of the social economic ladder. We always struggle. Anything that comes our way is always taken away from us by the most wealthy and most powerful people on the planet, such as the executives who run these corporations who are selling us a bill of goods on our needing to control the economy and the people of the planet.
In following up on that, I mean, it's also quite true that when we do make advances in the courts, for instance, that we've seen a very aggressive Congress move to try to bar the ability of workers to go to court and get, for instance, from an entity like Walmart, getting appropriate breaks and appropriate wages for work.
Right.
We have something like the Class Action Reform Act of 2005, where the Republicans bring this measure to keep these class action lawsuits that have been successful out of state court and push them into the federal judiciary that hasn't certified these classes. The question comes up, why does Barack Obama vote for a law like that when Democrats like Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and the writers at The Nation were openly condemning this piece of legislation as a big business bonanza? These are the things that people have to ask, and they've got a choice to make in this election. They can either go for this very ambiguous change that they're supposed to believe in, contrary to voting record, or I think they can go for a Ralph Nader, which is a change that they can trust because of his long history of working on legislation that I think is far superior to that of the other candidates, whether it be Clean Air Act, Clean Water, Environmental Protection Agency, all of the automotive safety work, Freedom of Information Act. This is what we're trying to say to the public, which is show me where the other candidates for president have taken on these corporate entities.
Some of the words of wisdom from my father, and I'm 69, so my father goes back a number of years. These words have come across the ages also, is that, oh, yeah, you judge a person by their actions and not by their word. And this is what we need to do. My own Congress, Brian Baird, over in in the state of Washington introduced legislation, the bankruptcy law that I confronted him on one of his sessions. And he said, well, he wanted to see the average person who accumulates credit card debt to be responsible. Well, what about responsibility of Fannie Mae? What about responsibility of the savings and loan corporations that we bailed out years ago? What about the responsibility of these large corporations that go under almost daily and are bailed out in some way by the taxpayers?
I think it's a great example. And that particular law, which was, I believe, Bill Clinton vetoed, one of the big Democratic backers of that bill was Joe Biden. And ironic to hear him criticize President Bush because he was able to get this bankruptcy bill passed because of Bush and take care of all his credit card companies that hide out in the state of Delaware so they don't have to pay taxes.
Right.
There was an important amendment that happened when that law came up for a vote, though, which would have capped credit card interest rates. It would have been the first time in the history of our country that we said you're going to protect the consumer from these unfair interest rates. And I forget what the number was. It was pretty high, 30% or thereabouts. And interestingly, Senator Obama voted against it. When he was asked why he voted against it, he said the amendment, the language was ambiguous, although he offered no amendment to clarify it. Then later he said the number was too high, that 30% was too high, although he didn't offer a lower percentage. Well, let me just share with you, I saw Senator Obama's credit card bill of rights recently on his website, and it's all about trying to protect the consumer with the fine print, but nowhere does he suggest a limit for credit card interest rates. And I think it's this kind of doublespeak, this kind of failure to really stand up to corporate power and to say, we're going to stop this practice that really traps people, working people, knowingly traps them because they're not going to be able to abide by these interest rates. That is the difference between the choice that people have. We're not going to change this country by supporting candidates that don't stand up and fight for us.
I agree with you and agree with you 100%. And I want to elaborate on that, but I also want to go back to how you judge a person by their actions and not their words. And the reason that popped into my mind was because of Ralph Nader. And I personally admire Ralph Nader because he's walked the walk. If he says he's going to do something or if he says something needs to be done, in my opinion, it's done. And it's done in his life, not just the other person's life. So I want to commend him on that, and I think, you know, him picking you as a running mate is a indication of someone else who also walked the walk, and thank you. The other thing that I wanted to elaborate on was...
Well, I was talking about the credit card interest rates.
Right. Yeah, again, the workers come out on the short end of the stick, and the mainstream candidates just, they're there to support corporations, so... How do we reverse this tide? How do we reverse personhood? How do we challenge the corporations? We want campaign finance reform, 100% publicly funded campaigns. We should have, when we talk about health care for all, we should have education for all from the cradle to the grave, free education. It only makes a nation stronger. But as I say that, I want to jump back to egalitarianism. I get very tired of hearing all the time what can we do for America? All of the speeches are America, America, America. We live on a small planet that we share with other human beings. And the egalitarian mindset is that there is no human being on the planet that deserves any more of the planet's resources than anyone else. And that means as Americans, we deserve no more of the planet's resources than anyone else. And when we sing God Bless America, it should be God Bless the Planet and every living creature on the planet.
Yeah, I certainly think that would be a better way for Americans to think. We do get extremely taken with ourselves, and unfortunately in foreign policy, it's often the case that we're not necessarily applying good moral, ethical ideas, but rather thinking about our self-interest. Maybe if we had a broader view, that would that would probably be better for everybody.
Well, I think our self-interest is international interest. And instead of occupying countries and paying off dictators, that we should be there for the people. But again, it's the working class people around the planet that get screwed. And it's the dictators that take the money. And it's the corporations that rule. So it's like the old motto goes, you know, I'm a IWW member and I believe that workers unite. And someday it has to happen. That's another thing. How about workers controlling corporations, getting the boards of directors, the middle people out of it, taking personhood away from corporations and putting the corporations in the power of the workers?
Well, I think that I've always supported certainly worker democracy when feasible. And I think that there is a long and strong tradition of worker co-ops in Europe that have been quite successful.
Right.
They've managed to operate factories and other production-type facilities and still provide health care and decent wages to their workers. So it's a model that whose time is come, really, for the United States. It would be great to see greater experimentation in this manner.
And I don't think the major political parties are going to do it. It's going to take people like yourself and Ralph Nader, possibly Cindy Sheehan, who's running against Nancy Pelosi, and people who are not afraid to buck the status quo.
Well, I mean, you see it in the Fannie Mae, you see it in the Bear Stearns. I mean, it's the failure at the time of a public bailout to really get the kind of public benefits and have the kind of transparency that there ought to be prior to these deals being cut. And I heard Ralph Nader talk about the bailout of Chrysler decades ago. It involved stock warrants. It was a very clear kind of bailout that allowed for the public to at least get a return on the risk that we were engaging in, that sort of thing. And so, I mean, I think that the nature of the way these economic crises would be dealt with would be substantially different by someone that were going into it as an advocate for the people, for the consumers,
right,
and for the taxpayer.
Right.
And I think Ralph has good judgment in this regard, and I think that we'd be very lucky to have him as President of the United States.
The average person out there will say, well, you're throwing your vote away, and you need to vote for the lesser of two evils. People don't realize that you're throwing your vote away when you vote for the lesser of two. You're not throwing your vote away when you're voting for your true value system.
I've said to people, look, they should vote for who they want to vote for. And if that's Barack Obama or John McCain, they should vote for that candidate. But they should respect the right of people that want to vote for us and who feel that they are building a better democracy by doing so. And I think historically we could cite many examples of the best ideas coming out of independent and small party candidacies.
Oh, definitely. When you're very generous when you say to other people that you go ahead and vote for who you want to. I think a lot of people will say, well, I want to vote for Obama or I want to vote for McCain, but they really don't. And yet that kind of reinforces the right to vote for the lesser two evils.
Well, but here's the thing, Pete. I think you have to respect how people get to a place where it works for them. I mean, I don't want to be strident about it. If people believe somebody's rhetoric and they really, really believe in it and they think they're going to get something different, well, I respect that. We have to respect that democracy. I don't think it's a winning proposition. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's a good idea. I don't mean to suggest that. I just mean that I'm not angry at somebody. I don't think that they're, you know what I mean? I think that we have to respect that. And believe me, there are millions of Americans that don't intend to vote. And rather than attacking people that are going to vote for Ralph Nader, these other candidates should either earn that support or go out and register new voters who aren't even going to turn out.
We're back to the corporations. And I read a couple of quotes this morning from Jefferson. And I'm sure you're well aware of these. But I'd like to read this one from Lincoln. And I think it brings us home into how the corporations have accumulated the power that they've accumulated to this date. And Lincoln said back in 1864, I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of our country. Corporations have been enthroned in an era of corruption in high places. Will follow the money power of the country, will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. That was quite a prediction by Abraham Lincoln in 1864.
Well, I think they probably at that time were already seeing the immense influence that corporations could wield. So I certainly can't quarrel with the remarks.
Well, we're coming to an end of the interview. Are there any final comments that you'd like to say?
No, Pete, thanks for having me, and I hope to be in the Portland area before this election takes place.
Well, that would be great. Well, thanks for joining us, and I hope to meet you in person.
Okay, great. Likewise.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was an interview with Matt Gonzalez, who is Ralph Nader's vice presidential candidate.
Silent soldiers on a silver screen, framed in fantasies and drugged in dreams, unpaid actors of the mystery. The mad director knows that freedom will not make you free. And what's this got to do with me? Fading rhythms of a fading land. Prove your courage in the proud parade. Trust your leaders where mistakes are almost never made. And they're afraid that I'm afraid. Painting angry signs, use their vision just to blind the blind. Poison players of a grisly game. One is guilty and the other gets to point the blame. Pardon me if I refrain. So do your duty, boys, and join with pride. Serve your country in her suicide. Find a flag so you can wave goodbye. But just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. This country is too young to die.